Hello, this is Angelo.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, it's Money here.
Hi.
Good morning, everybody.
It's been.
Hey Ben, how are you this morning?
Hey, doing well. It's snow again in North Carolina.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, my brother sent me pictures. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
In March, almost April.
Yeah.
Also in Zurich, this morning was snowing.
We'll give it a couple more minutes for people to show up. I've posted the relevant documents in the Rocket chat. So if you guys want to take a look at those, there's a meeting summary list. If you could add yourself to the list if you're here.
Okay.
All right, well, it's a couple minutes past the hour, and we should probably get started. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Hart. I think I know most of you, but there are a couple of new names on the list. Well, today is the first CryptoLib call. So I had a couple of things that I thought we should discuss. I wanted to just go through introductions so everybody knows who's on the call and what we all want to accomplish. And then I was hoping to go over the proposal in light of some recent comments. We probably need to do a little bit of editing, and I'll bring those points up when we get there. And finally, I wanted to discuss some of the integration efforts and how they were going. Does that make sense to people?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Let's get started then. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Hart. I do crypto research as my day job. And I'm interested in the CryptoLib because I think it will help increase the security of Hyperledger projects in the long run and provide a great platform to do some more experimental work and potentially research. Do you guys just want to go down the list and introduce yourselves?
Sure.
I think I'm next. I'm Manu here. I'm also a crypto researcher at IBM, and I'm particularly interested in this library because we've been talking about integrating zkLang there, some generic way to make zero knowledge proofs that would also be very very relevant to us because we're integrating Identity Mixer in Hyperledger Fabric, and ideally we would have this code in one place to avoid doing double work.
Awesome. Thanks.
Great. My name is Ben. I am not a researcher in crypto, not an expert in crypto. I'm a developer, an architect on Hyperledger Fabric. Though I am very interested in technologies that safeguard our network infrastructure and data. Especially now, my employer is State Street. It is extremely, extremely important for State Street to be able to provide the security of the data and the communications to its clients. So not only existing approved crypto algorithms, but we also interest in forward technology like zero knowledge and lately post-quantum cryptography, because especially post-quantum cryptography, because quantum computing at this point makes everybody nervous, especially those who have data encrypted and would want to protect it for 30, 50 years from now, are very nervous at this point. So as a whole, we are very, very interested in this area.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben. If you all could add your name to the participant list in the document that I linked in the Hyperledger chat, as well as your email, that would be wonderful. Thanks.
So I think Morning, I can go next. If it's okay. I'm Angelo De Caro from IBM Research Zurich. I'm one of the architects and developer of Hyperledger Fabric, and I'm mainly interested in all the security aspects related to blockchain technologies, and also I'm interested in tokens, zero-knowledge proofs, and all the cryptographic algorithms that are relevant for blockchain ecosystems. Therefore, I'm very interested in this project and how it will deal with the Hyperledger Fabric. I'm also here on behalf of Eli Andrulaki. She is also from IBM Research Zurich. She was not able to join today, but she will join next time.
Thanks. Yeah, it looks like she's on, but anyway, someone want to go next?
But only for a little bit. Hi, Hart. Hi, everyone.
Oh, okay.
Hi, everyone. This is Brian Mitzak. Actually discovered this working group through an online course I was taking. My background's in the financial services industry. My goal is just to be a fly on the wall and glean whatever knowledge I can and contribute wherever I can. So just glad to be here.
Hello. I'll go. Oh, go for it.
Hi, everybody. I don't know where I'm in the list, but yeah, I'm Hao Wang, and I'm originally Chinese, but Belgian citizen living in Romania now. I'm hosting Hyperledger meetings, meetups in Romania. And yeah, I'm also working on a startup with some other people. Startup which might involve, well, will probably involve blockchain and identity and privacy.
I'll go ahead and jump in next. My name is Nathan George. I work on the Hyperledger Indie project, and we have a bunch of cryptography code that we're looking to share that Manu already mentioned in the form of the Indie Crypto Library that has some attribute-based credentials code, as well as some BLS signature code, and a few other new things that we'd like to add around ZK-SNARKs and BBS plus signatures and a few things like that.
Hey, everybody. I'm Dave Huseby. I'm the security maven at Hyperledger, and I'm just here to help in any way I can. I want to see this project get off the ground and be truly useful for all of our projects. I'd love to see all of our platforms moving over to using this library so that we can concentrate our effort into one place, I guess.
Hey, I'll go next. I'm Daniel Hardman. I also work with LibIndy like Nathan. I'm not really very qualified to be part of this group. My level of cryptography knowledge is kind of limited to two or three classes, but a longtime software developer and have been helping people who are writing indie code to spec out their SDK as it became clear that we were needing a bunch of cryptographic primitives. I became more and more eager for us to collaborate with some other people. So I'm excited for this effort to take off. I think it will strengthen what Indy's doing, and hopefully some of the stuff that we've written will be helpful to other people also.
Maybe Mick or Dan or others who are being shy.
This is Dan. I'm not usually accused of being shy, so I guess I have to go now. I'm one of the Sawtooth maintainers. We've got a mature signing API for the boring parts of crypto. We're interested in collaborating on that to make it a more general thing applicable across the different stacks at Hyperledger, and then expand into some of the more interesting stuff that that's already been mentioned. I'm not yet exposed to ZK Lang, so I'd love an intro to that at some point. And that's about it.
And I'm Mick. I'm working on some technology for maintaining privacy with SGX, and so we are expecting to be consumers of some of the work that's here.
Awesome. Has anyone not introduced themselves?
Hi, this is Amit. I'm calling from India. I'm doing my PhD research work in this security with this topic, Hyperledger. So I will be grateful if I get some task related to architecture or some coding stuff. So it will be a pleasure for to do such type of stuff. That's all about me.
Anybody else?
And this is Ellie. I'm also from IBM Research, as Angelo and Manu. I'm working on Hyperledger security. I'm essentially responsible for security-related contributions from the IBM side. As Manu and Angelo, I'm also interested in zero-knowledge advanced crypto primitives, like zero-knowledge for asset management in particular. And that's pretty much what I had to say. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. So I guess changing topics, has everyone looked over the CryptoLib proposal? If you haven't, it's in the chat. It's in the Rocket chat. I believe it's the second link. Has everyone looked at this? Yes, no?
yes, I have probably, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So, with some comments, not sure how much changes since.
Yeah, so we haven't had much changes since, and I wanted to talk to everybody to get a sense of how we wanted to change this. So basically, right now I have it as kind of the overall structure is very similar to the lab structure. So I wanted to get some comments on the overall governance, what people thought about that, and what changes people think we should make. In particular, if we are scrapping the tier 3 stuff as some people seem to want to do, I was curious as to what impact this should have on the governance. Any thoughts?
So we would from Hyperledger point of view, then we would recommend those that was planning to be in tier three would go to labs as a place, as a sandbox for those projects.
Yeah, so we figured that the code that people weren't planning on using in projects should probably be in labs. So the more experimental stuff would be in labs. And the crypto lib would be focused on things people were actually planning on using. Does that summarize things properly? Dan, Nathan, anybody else who has been in on this discussion?
Yeah, I think that's a good summary. The idea here was that if there's something that you don't really intend for anyone to use in any production sense or even in a proof of concept sense, that labs would be a better home for it because it doesn't imply the same endorsement by the Hyperledger project in general. That way we're not managing that kind of endorsement tier inside of the crypto library directly, but rather we can focus on the things that one of the projects is, or one of the maintainers is actually planning to use in tier two, and then things that we know have endorsement or wide acceptance in tier one.
So I understand the endorsement issue for pushing tier three out, but how likely is this scenario? Hey, we've got this crypto library we want to tinker with. We're going to go to the labs, but we really have no concern with how easy it is to plug into the existing crypto library and try it out in our system, you know, like on one of the platforms. I mean, I get the endorsement part, but if the tier three isn't about doing prototypes, right? Like I don't think that there's going to be anything that falls under the label crypto that's new and up and coming that people want to tinker with that won't be part of a proof of concept. I mean, can anybody think of a case where this would actually apply? Because if there isn't, then we're essentially just eliminating tier three altogether.
So
and then think we're,
and people, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think we're eliminating it. It's just there's going to be a repo in the regular project area that's going to have some pretty safe stuff. And then there's going to be a repo in the lab space where we can do stuff that's less safe.
The example we talked about at the Hackfest was the idea that maybe someone goes off and makes a really experimental branch of some ZK Snarks code that adds some optimizations that we're not sure if they work or not. Rather than try to do that work directly in the crypto library, we figured it would be it would require less policing and less coordination effort if there was space in the labs for those sorts of things, because you know it's the kind of experimentation that very well might work out and might be a really great enhancement. But we didn't want to have to set up a whole bunch of gatekeeping and hurdles for that kind of experimentation when both the implementer and the people who might consume that implementation would have a pretty clear idea that it wasn't something that was vetted or something that was even academically sound until it had gone through a more formal process.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Dave, I get it. I was just asking. I'm just curious.
No, the other thing that really swayed this in my mind was we want the crypto lib projects to be well maintained. Like if you contribute code, you know, you need to have a maintainer for it. Whereas, you know, some of the lab stuff, you know, the maintenance doesn't need to be so good. So if I'm like a grad student and I have this cool ZK Snark thing, right? You know, some better implementation, I can code that up and contribute it to labs. And, you know, the code is there, people can use it. And I don't have to worry about maintaining it. You know, I don't have to commit to maintaining it. I don't have to find a maintainer.
Yeah.
Whereas the stuff in the crypto lib, you know, if people pull this and use it, we want there to be maintainers for it. So I guess that's kind of the big distinction in my mind.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah, the grad student can then graduate and go off on their life and forget about the code they wrote in grad school. And it's not going to be cluttering up the crypto library. I totally get that. Okay, thanks for clarifying, guys. That makes total sense. Maybe we should call that out specifically, that's sort of the threshold for getting into the library. I know that that's implicit, and I know that all of us understand the rules about maintainership and stuff like that, but maybe for outsiders, it might be interesting to just put a sentence or two in the doc.
Yeah. Okay. We can, I'll be happy to make that edit. But yeah, so are there any other comments on this?
So an example for my own understanding here is that, if we were to use some post-quantum cryptography algorithms and decided to use that in our product, and we wanted to contribute that to this library, we would have to have someone to be the maintainer of that code. Then would that qualify for tier two?
As long as you were using, you know, standard, you know, well-regarded stuff.
Right.
If you pick your favorite PQC NIST.
Yep.
Proposal. Are you going there next month by any chance?
Very likely, yes.
Awesome. I'll see you there. You know, if you pick something that people have confidence in and has been well studied, and you know, there's an implementation and, you know, you maintain a wrapper, you maintain the code or something, yes, that would be tier two.
Okay, thank you.
If you decide to like write your own, that would probably be tier three, but does anyone else have any more comments on this governance structure? So I've written this up as kind of a, you know, global maintainer and then a local maintainer thing. So the local maintainers have responsibility for, you know, kind of the individual code segments, and the global maintainers are kind of gatekeepers and stewards to make sure that, you know, they're essentially the reviewers to make sure, you know, projects stay up to date and to kind of review and analyze new crypto contributions. Do people think this structure makes sense, or is there a better way?
That sounds good to me. I have a bit of a question about what tier three now will be, because from the discussion or from the comments I just heard, it sounds very much experimental, whereas the document says research implementations, this is stuff that has been accepted at crypto, and so I think that's not really just a toy, that's already something where, you know, it theoretically works.
Yeah, so I think the goal is to so tier three will just go to the labs. People will do individual labs projects. In the labs, people are very against kind of any gatekeeping of any sort. So that will be outside the purview of the crypto lib, and, you know, kind of whatever you can convince the lab stewards to let in, you can put in. But the labs people are very, very emphatic that, you know, the lab acceptance does not constitute like a Hyperledger endorsement of the code. Does that make sense?
I see what you're saying, but now it sounds like there's either tier two, which is already very mature, or tier three, which is just about anything. And I think it would be nice to have a place for new theoretical results where, you know, for example, accepted at crypto, but it's new stuff. That can still be distinguished from just any stuff that anybody came up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I when I think about it, it's it's that really broad expanse that can go into the labs. So it can be stuff that's fairly immature, but it could also be the things that you're referring to, Manu, that they are maybe not battle hardened code, but it's sound math. And by placing it in the lab, then that's a place where projects can, higher level projects can still grab those packages, install them, test them out, and do that battle hardening, so that once people gain a higher level of confidence, then maybe we can promote that lab into the shared crypto library as production worthy code.
Yeah, so there are a couple things here. The big thing that we want to avoid is we don't want to kind of have people contribute code to the crypto lib and then disappear. And we don't want to be the we don't want to be the GitHub for blockchain papers, basically, where people just dump their code and disappear. So I suspect that the main bar will be active maintenance for kind of putting this like new and theoretical stuff into tier two. And if people are using it, and if people are POCing it, and if people commit to maintaining it, then, you know, that's probably that plus like a paper acceptance is probably most of the way to getting to tier two. And as Dan said, you know, we're going to be, you know, well, at least I anticipate we would want to be pretty aggressive about promoting things. So, you know, if there is a lab crypto project that people are using actively, and we have, you know, maintainership for, then we, you know, we can promote it. Does that make sense, Manu?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
I totally like that idea. I think that's a good way of managing things. There's one other corollary point that I'd like to bring up, which is what happens when we get something into the crypto library and for whatever reason it falls out of favor, or the maintainers disappear or whatever. What's the process we're going to go through to clean up the crypto library? I think a lot of open source projects don't explicitly outline how they're going to remove code, especially when it's, you know, maintaining contributions or having, you know, formal maintainership relationships like we do. So I would propose that we just adopt a stance where somebody proposes that we remove a particular piece of code, you know, gives a reason, then the maintainers either vote or we just do a public comment period of like, you know, hey, we're going to remove this, you know, in our annual cleanup, which happens, you know, whenever on a regular basis. And, you know, speak now, forever, hold your peace. I don't know. What does anybody else think? I think it's important for us to at least spell out, since we're going to put in these conditions that it has to be actively maintained, what happens when that maintainership goes away.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Dave. Because I think this project's going to be a little different than some of the other ones where we've got, a team that's working on a single product of sorts. So you've got a lot of good PR hygiene, and maybe something to incorporate here is that at least a rule that we use in Sawtooth is any new feature that comes in has to come in with unit tests. And that way, when things start to become unmaintained, then it becomes very explicit from the CI infrastructure that things are starting to fall apart. And that's a good red flag to start removing functionality that's no longer being maintained.
Yeah, I guess, Dave, are you afraid your Caesar cipher will fall out of favor?
Well, it's going to be really hard for me to maintain my Caesar cipher, you know, because I'm a real busy guy. And, you know, I don't want to get into a fight with anybody. I want you guys to just be able to say, you know what, you're not maintaining the Caesar cipher. We're going to remove it.
Yeah. Would you or some other like open source veteran mind writing up how this works?
Sure. I can do it.
Yeah, that would be wonderful if you could just add that to the proposal, because that is a really important point. And, you know, we obviously need to have recourse for that.
Yeah, we have a, you know, delegated maintainership setup here, which is fairly unique in open source. The only other group that I know of that does this well is the Firefox team, where, you know, there's like this tree of maintainers. And when things fall out of favor or when they, you know, stop being maintained, that tree gets pruned. So I'll just crib from the Mozilla policy, which is basically like, hey, we intend to, you know, email goes out to the mailing list. We intend to remove this at the next house cleaning. And then they have house cleaning scheduled like once a year or twice a year or whatever. And they basically send it out to the mailing list and say, you know, public comment period opens now. If you don't want this removed, speak up now. Otherwise, it's going to be gone in release, whatever, which will be out on such and such day. And then if nobody says anything, then it just gets pruned. So, yeah, I'll type that up. I think it's pretty straightforward. It's not complicated.
Awesome. Thank you. Does anyone else have any other comments on the proposal document? I mean, there are definitely more issues with it, so please feel free to, you know, point out problems. Anybody? If not, we can let's make edits that we've committed to, and we can come back next week and talk about it more.
So, Hart, what do you guys think is the next step on this project? Do you think that we're moving to the phase now that we've got the charter? Are we now going to go to the TSC, or are we going to start proposing the lists of things to include in tier one, tier two, or are we doing both at the same time?
So I think we need a code base to propose to the TSC, and this was going to bring me to my next topic.
Gotcha. Sorry for jumping the
gun. No worries. You're right on schedule. So the initial effort has been to kind of merge part of the Sawtooth and Indie Crypt. And I was going to ask if Dan or Mick or Nathan wanted to comment on that.
Sorry, my audio got a little garbled. Could you repeat that?
So I was discussing that, you know, we need an initial code base to propose to the TSC. And that was likely to, you know, the most likely candidate was some kind of work done on merging part of the Indie and Sawtooth crypto libraries. And I was curious if you or Mick or Nathan wanted to comment on that.
So I can make a starting comment. We've been collaborating with Manu and other folks on the IBM team around the ZK Lang work, and we started taking a look at the Indie crypto library and what we need to modify in order to support some of the ZK Lang code. But as far as I'm aware, there's not a Hyperledger crypto repository yet, and we haven't worked at creating a common build process or a common code location between the Sawtooth code base or the Sawtooth crypto code base and the Indie crypto code base yet. Dan or anyone else on the Sawtooth side, do you have any other news there?
Yeah, one of the things that we wanted to do leaving the LA Hackfest was go ahead and put that initial repo together. So that still remains to be done. But yeah, that would cover that subset of our common interests here of things like signing and the usual sorts of crypto, but not the ZK stuff. So that's still something that we could do fairly easily as a small bite to get started, is just get that stuff into a single repo.
Yeah, so I would love to have a repo too, but I don't know that we can have a repo without having a project. So
yeah, I don't see that as a problem. I could just create a repo and put stuff in, and then that can come over as part of the proposal.
Yeah, or so like Hart or somebody can make a repo and we'll just work out of there for now.
I was gonna say the other thing we can do is we can just start that code base and go through a labs proposal, start the code base over there, use that for the collaboration, and then let it mature and then move it back.
Actually, that's a really good idea. Isn't that what the labs is all about?
That's what I thought it was about.
Yep, I think so. I think we, and because the bar is so low, we should be able to just say, hey, we want to start a lab for this, and they'll approve a repo. Let's do it.
Okay.
I don't think we even need that. I mean, I can just create a repo and we can put code into it, and then we copy it into Hyperledger space once the project comes through.
Yeah, but what we're saying is instead of doing it in yours, just do it in the labs section, right? That's what Hyperledger Labs is for.
The only reason, the reason that I would suggest going through labs is that does force us to into the licensing. So we are all held accountable for making sure that we're putting in appropriate code.
That's right. And the DCO stuff too, right? I guess that's what you're saying. Yeah.
That's basically what I'm saying. Yeah.
Our favorite GitHub feature.
In this case, I don't know if we have to be really worried about that as long as the code is all coming from the existing Hyperledger repositories. But in terms of the new build glue code, it'd be a good idea to have the DCO stuff in place.
Yeah, we don't want to have to get down the road where we have to manually sort through everything and worry about licensing.
Once it becomes a full project, it will get license audited. So, we have that to backstop against, but let's be proactive.
Okay. So I guess the action item here is to set up a labs project. And that should be relatively simple. So I guess I'll look into doing that and hopefully get that set up soon.
Hart, I have a final question about the proposal.
Sure.
So there was some discussion regarding the language of that code base and whether it was going to be a single language or multiple. And I'm not sure there was a consensus there. So maybe that's a point we should raise here. And of course, I'm personally very interested in the relation between Fabric and this crypto library. So maybe we should also communicate with some of the Fabric people a bit more on whether they would be interested in using this and what their requirements would be.
Yeah.
If I had my way in a perfect world, we'd write everything in Rust because it's a drop-in replacement for C and C++. It's easy to fuzz, and then we can wrap it with all the other languages. But I don't think that anybody else is going to agree with me, mostly because we're not writing our own implementations for the most part, right?
I would add a plus one to that because that's essentially the approach Indie Crypto is taking so far.
So it feels to me like we need to clarify what is our target matrix. Like, are we expecting this code to run? I assume we want it to run on common, desktop and server platforms. But what about embedded devices, for example?
Or SGXs, for instance.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And how does
that limits what we can. Yeah, that limits the languages we can use, right? As far as I understand it.
That's what I'm wondering is, I think some platforms we might be able to adapt to and still use a fairly broad set of languages. But if we get really ambitious in the set of things that we're targeting, we might end up saying we have to use pure C.
Well, Rust is almost an entirely replacement. I don't think anybody's tried to do that on an SGX environment, but there's no reason that would prevent it from it. I mean, I think the biggest hurdle is that Rust has a pretty large standard library, but it has a really good support. The compiler has really good support for doing a no standard library builds for embedded environments and things. But I don't know that we want to use our crypto library as the pointy end of the spear trying to figure out how to get Rust on an SGX environment. So my two cents.
There are a couple of places that have SDKs for doing Rust and SGX that we can take advantage of. But again, the biggest thing is that it requires you to just be careful with your code. So, don't use standard. So
that's true. Yeah. And there's a lot of embedded REST programmers now, you know, targeting things like MSP 430s and stuff.
Do we think that this crypto library will have any dependencies on anything on the outside that has platform-specific, you know, characteristics?
I don't think so. We might want to have optional modules that have specific dependencies. But I think to the original multi-language question, I'm not terribly concerned with the implementation language for, say, a particular method. But we found that we need a lot of language bindings in Sawtooth to support, say, different clients or different smart contract implementation languages. So the root language that something is implemented in is one thing, but then it's necessary for us to have a lot of language bindings. And I think that's where the multi-language thing comes in.
I believe you are more should think not just about some multi-language, but about dependencies that can be platform-specific. For example, current code in the crypto library depends on OpenSSL, and but we use conditional compilation, and it can be possible because we have all abstractions. For example, we use big numbers from OpenSSL, but we have abstraction layer over this, and it can be possible to replace OpenSSL with some this different library. Yeah, for example, if we don't need very big generation of some safe primes for some cases, we can just look to some native Rust library for big numbers and avoid big dependencies on some platforms. Also, if you don't need features that depends on fast big numbers code, we can just disable this feature.
Does anybody else have more questions? I think Manu had a question.
Actually, I'm good for now.
anybody else? Oh, and as far as the fabric stuff goes, we have unfortunately communicated less with a lot of the fabric people. And I think the main reason for that is that you guys are in Europe and it's, you know, you haven't been around as much for all of the hackfests and some of the other stuff. But we'll try to do a better job of that in the future.
We're going to be in Amsterdam soon.
3 months, I mean.
Well, yeah, in 3 months. But, you know, like we could plan on that would be, that sounds like a pretty good deadline for let's get all of our stuff together and be ready to make the proposal to TSC.
You know, I was hoping we could do sooner than that, but I don't know how fast the work will progress.
Yeah. Or maybe that's where we go heads down and you dot all the I's and cross all the T's to meet the TSC's pushback, right? Because they're going to push back on us a few things and, you know, hopefully come out of that hackfest completely done and can announce that it's a project.
Yeah. I'm also hoping that we get through this sooner than 3 months. And I don't know how much pushback there should be. We've discussed this at a few meetups. And so all the projects have been present for that, even though I know we've got contributors around the globe at different aspects of the project. Each of the existing Hyperledger projects have been present for those discussions.
Yeah, I don't anticipate a ton of TSC opposition. But you know, you never know. That Dan Middleton can be really, you know, really tough.
You know, see, and I was thinking the Hart Montgomery guy on the TSC was just kind of like drags his feet all the time.
Yeah, whatever the senator no or whatever the of the TSC. All right. Another thing, how often, so this time seemed to work the best for everyone for phone calls. How often would people like to have a phone call?
I'm of the opinion that about every other week should be okay. Once we have a repo and a mailing list set up, or I think the need for a regular call is less, but we probably need one at least every other week.
Yeah, that seems reasonable to me. Do other people agree?
Yeah, I agree. I anticipate most of the discussion to be on the mailing list, hopefully, and that this call will be mostly just like spitballing new ideas and, you know, having out the argument for once and, you know, for one last time, just to make sure that everybody's on board before we decide something that's somewhat controversial. But other than that, most of the mundane everyday, like, hey, I'm going to do this kind of stuff should be on the mailing list.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. That sounds good too. If we do every other week, we can keep this meeting time. Apparently Quilt has the same meeting time every other week, and we don't have the conference capabilities to have two meetings at once right now.
Can we stagger so that we're opposite weeks from them?
Yes, we can.
Let's do that.
So I'll discuss that with Tracy, but that will seem to work. Apparently Quilt meetings don't follow daylight savings time, which I guess most of the world doesn't, but.
Hey, before we go, a nuts and bolts proposal. Did we decide at the last TechFest that we were going to use like CMake for the conditional compilation? I know that this could be a huge can of worms. I don't really want to derail the conversation, but I was just curious if we'd made that decision or not. So that's what I'm asking. Have we decided or not?
Yeah, I think as we're putting in code, that's maybe the time for that low level stuff. But that's what we had discussed in I don't know, I think it was LA, maybe it was the one before.
Yeah, I think we talked about this in LA for a little bit, but we didn't conclude anything. Although I believe you did push for it. So,
yeah, I know that the discussion was happening. I was just wondering if there was a conclusion because I was distracted with other things. And yeah, I did push for CMake. I hate CMake, but I also love CMake. So,
I hate CMake, but I hate things that aren't CMake more.
Exactly. That's, I guess, the right way to put it. Yes. Well,
that was a very appropriate yes.
Well then. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to discuss or bring up? We only have, you know, about 10 minutes left.
You know, I just want to say I want to thank everybody here for putting up the time and effort to get this going. I know that it's difficult to build consensus around open source projects, and it's even harder to get an open source project off the ground. As a group, you know, most open source projects start because it's one person or two people going off on a wild tangent, and then everybody realizes its utility. What we're doing here, I think we should recognize, is probably the hardest way to get an open source project off the ground. And I'm very appreciative of everybody's patience and effort. So I'll do everything I can to help, and I know Tracy will, and David Boswell. But thank you guys for being great.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave. I guess so the to-dos are I will work on getting a Hyperledger Labs proposal up. I may reach out to some of you about that. Is there anyone here who is not okay having their name put on a Hyperledger Labs proposal for this? I'll take that as a no. Awesome. In the meantime, if everyone could please read the proposal document and go over that and suggest changes, that would be wonderful. You know, I'm sure there are things that need to be clarified and explained, and if people comment on that, that would be great. And I will schedule the next meeting for 2 weeks from now. So does anybody else have any questions, comments, jokes about Mick?
Ha, ha, ha.
Nope. Thank you.
So this guy named Mick walks into a bar and...
Dave.
And the bartender says, "We didn't expect to see you until 2.
Yeah, where's your verifiable claim?
I just want to know what web of trust I have to walk to know who the right issuer is.
All right, goodbye, everybody. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, it's everybody. Settled. We're true nerds. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, everybody.
Thanks, bye.
Good evening.